G'day everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Training Tidbits podcast series. I'm your host, Ryan Cartledge, and as always, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here with us today. We are going to have a lot of fun in this episode, and personally, I'm thrilled to announce that we are bringing on a past guest to the show today, a guest that I did an episode with 6 months ago, back in March of this year. We're traveling once again to Poland to talk to my very good friend, Animal Training Academy member and SEAL trainer extraordinaire, one Mikolaj Zibola. Now, a lot's happened in the last 6 months, so we're going to get a bit of an update from Miko with regards to what he's been up to, and I'm very excited to announce that Miko's off on a brand new adventure, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that. Today, we thought we'd also dive deep into the world of shaping behavior, which I know is something a lot of you want to learn more about. So stay tuned because we have buckets full of information coming your way. Before we say hi to Miko though, what I thought we'd do is kind of read out the bio that we used in our episode 6 months ago, and then we'll get Miko to fill in the gaps with regards to what's happened with him in the 6 months since then, and as mentioned, where his career is taking him next. So here we go. Miko has a master's degree in marine biology and is an animal trainer and zoo educator. As you might have guessed, he specializes in marine mammals though, specifically seals, and loves all aspects of their biology, ethology, and husbandry. Miko identifies himself as a passionate marine mammal keeper, trainer, and a huge advocate of using positive reinforcement methodology in all areas of animal care. He has been working in this field since 2006 in numerous types of organizations, including academic, private, and zoological facilities. Miko works to combine all of these passions to help ignite fascination in everyone about the beauty of marine ecosystems. It's my great pleasure to welcome back to the show, Miko Zibola. How are you, Miko? And how did I go with your introduction? And I'm going to try some Polish here. Good morning. Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry. Good morning. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me back. Actually, those 6 months was crazy. And yeah, the bio is sums up me pretty much. So no comments on that. There are some new adventures, as you said, going my way. So yeah, I'll be happy to talk about it.
Perfect. And like I said, and you just mentioned there, excited about a brand new chapter you're about to start in your life. Miko, could you maybe fill us in a little bit more in the last 6 months and about this exciting news and your new role?
Yeah, sure. So the last 6 months, I've been working at the oldest zoo in Poland, which is in the city of Wrocław. And there I was part of the team who took care of African penguins, like 75 of them, and 6 South African fur seals. My biggest role was to try to coordinate and to advance the training of the fur seals with regards of some pretty challenging things that we had to do. And as a side job from my boss, I was to start training for the 3 harbor seals that are at the zoo. So the first thing is the fur seal training. The main challenges that we have still is to learn the animals, to convince them to go in the inside area where we can lock them up in separate pools. So this is the challenge because at the moment they don't really wanted to do it when I started like a year ago. So during the spring and summer we worked on that. There were some challenges, like challenges that we had to overcome. We were doing that slowly but surely, and out of 6 animals at this point, only one is still resistant to accept all the things, and the dominant male, he's the one who gives the trouble, but we're working on him slowly too. So the next job was to try to find a way to maybe start a training with the penguins, but as I said, there are 75 of them on a huge area because they have the biggest enclosure for African penguins in Europe. So there are 75 of them, but you can barely find them on the enclosure because they can hide away everywhere. So we actually have some ideas, but we didn't start implementing them as such yet. And the third thing that I was working on was this harbor seal training, like the start of the training. And this was something that I was really excited about because we didn't have any goals or timetable from a boss, so we could do it the perfect way, which is let the animal steer the boat and let the animal decide what we do, how fast we do. Nevertheless, the progress is really good, although very slow. And like a year ago, the seals would not accept any foreign person in their enclosure. And by mid-June, we were able to do some kind of a construction on site, with the seals being very interested in the construction. So we are very, very happy about it. So that's basically it for the past 6 months.
And tell us a little bit more about your new role that you're getting started in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is something that I was really not expecting. It was somewhere in the back of my mind, because a year ago when I was looking for a job, I sent my CVs to many facilities. And after I got my job at Wrocław Zoo, I was kind of happy and I settled in and got ready for the challenges. And a few weeks ago, I got an opportunity to change job again, but this time it's a huge leap. I don't want to say forward, because Wrocław Zoo is a really great facility, but a huge step and a huge change in my career, because I was offered a job of a senior presenter at one of the oldest zoo in the world, which is a zoo in Bristol in England. And they are about to make some changes to the presentation they do with animals, and they wanted a new senior presenter and management staff. So I am a part of the new thing that will be going on there.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you, Miko. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I feel such a great opportunity for you moving forward to really learn and grow and develop yourself. So you have this month off, just relaxing a little bit before your big move. So you and I thought we'd catch up and have a bit of fun recording a podcast episode, and at the same time thought we'd talk a little bit about shaping today. We covered shaping a little bit in one of the first Animal Training Academy podcast episodes, but we haven't really touched on it to any great length since then. So we thought we'd dedicate an entire episode to it. And the obvious place to start would be to define what shaping is. Miko, can you kick us off here and start out by giving everyone out there a definition of what we mean when we say the word shaping?
As I understand, shaping is changing the behavior of the animal in a certain way. So by shaping, I mean some kind of a modeling of the behavior.
Yeah, cool. So to build upon that, we want to shape, or we want to mold our animal's behavior.
Yeah, shaping means molding behavior, something like this.
And I think a lot of people, when they think about animal training, this is what they think about. Animal training is a much larger picture about understanding our animal as an individual, understanding the environment they live in and setting that environment up correctly, understanding how reinforcement works, how the consequences of an animal's behavior affect its future behavior, and an animal's daily routine from start to finish, how all of these factors influence animals' behavior. But when people think about animal training, I think shaping is what they think about. They think about us standing in front of an animal and teaching it something new.
You have to think about shaping behavior that you kind of push the animal towards your goal, explain somehow to the animal what you want by the process of shaping.
Yeah, so we've got to go through this process of facilitating learning in our animals and figuring out the baby steps or successive approximations or learnable chunks or whatever you want to call it. And we use these to communicate to our animal. Yes, that's it. Good. You're heading in the right direction. And I think there's a really big skill to be able to split behavior up into learnable chunks rather than try to communicate to your animal with reinforcement in big lumps. If this makes sense, we're going to explain this. Don't worry if it doesn't make sense yet. So one way of thinking about this that you'll see on animaltrainingacademy.com, or you might hear others say, is split rather than lump. Break behavior up. Miko, can you maybe talk a little bit more about the importance of being able to go through this process and how this could impact the level of success you have with your animal training?
Yeah, sure. It's being able as a trainer to split the behavior into small chunks. It's one of the most important things, I would say, because what you want to do as a trainer is to set your animal in such a way that it will succeed more often than not. Let the animal be successful as often as possible. So when you want to learn a certain behavior and you go to the animal and just expect the behavior, you won't get it. But if you divide it into smaller chunks, smaller behavior, then you give the animal more chances to be successful. And if you do it in a real small chunks, like for example, you divide the behavior into 10 different steps. You give the animal 10 different times and chances to be successful. It's easier for you also as a trainer because it saves you time. You can plan for your training session that you will do one of the steps instead of, for example, three or maybe one big step. You can plan for one small step. And after you get this step, you can do reinforcement. And then the animal will remember that not only he was successful, but after being successful with something new, he receives something that he likes a lot. So being able to plan your behavior and divide it into really small parts gives you so many advantages that I think it's one of the most fundamental things in being a trainer.
I agree. I think that the really good trainers that can teach quite complex behaviors are the ones who can really look at a behavior and break it up into these learnable chunks. A great way of thinking about this, if you're not quite understanding this idea of splitting rather than lumping, is thinking about any behavior, and you might have seen videos of cheetahs or birds doing behaviors in super slow motion, especially the cheetah running or a bird launching off a perch. And if you look at that one behavior of, say, a bird launching itself off a perch, when you slow it down, there's so many little micro behaviors in that one behavior. So when we're teaching a new behavior, if we can offer reinforcement at each one of those little stages, then we're going to be communicating to our animal more effectively. This is what the final behavior looks like. You got to imagine that you have this idea of a behavior in your mind and you want to train it with your animal, and you have your reason that you want to train it, but your animal's standing in front of you with no idea what you want, doesn't understand exactly why you want it. It just wants, as long as we've got our reinforcers correct, it just wants what you have.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you were saying, Miko, the opportunity to give that animal what it wants is going to mean that that animal is going to do those things at a higher frequency in the future. And being able to break that behavior up, offer reinforcement frequently, means that moving forward, our animal is engaged and doing those little learnable chunks at a higher frequency, therefore additionally offering variation in what they're doing and giving us opportunities to capture the next step in the shaping plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's that simple.
It is that simple because you and I are both really good shapers, as are and as is everyone that is listening to this podcast, because we all learned to walk, but we didn't just stand up and start walking. We figured out how to balance ourselves, and we were reinforced for that by staying upright, and we slowly worked through this process. So we're all actually really good at this stuff. And do you remember, Miko, going to kindergarten and learning how to write?
Yeah.
You started off by having the letter A with big lines, and you kind of had to join the lines together, and then the lines got further and further apart and smaller and smaller. So once again, we were shaped into learning how to write.
Exactly, with baby steps. Yeah, it's in all our schools and in all our learning activities. So we just transfer it into training animals.
We're going to tell you how to do this very soon. So if you're sitting there thinking, this is great, but how do I do this with my animal? We're going to tell you. So we're going to move on. Splitting rather than lumping. So the more you can split that behavior up and offer reinforcement for tiny little micro movements towards where you want to get, it's really important, and it's going to help you get success. And a great way to develop yourself in this fashion and to be a good splitter, especially if you're new to this, is to write it down on a piece of paper. And I've got some really great lessons on how to do this on animaltrainingacademy.com. And specifically, what I think is going to be really valuable to the listeners is one of the lessons from my free course. So I'll make sure to put a link to that in the write-up for this podcast. And everyone does this slightly differently, I feel. Miko, do you want to maybe say how you do this or how you have done shaping plans in the past and the value you think they can deliver?
Yeah, I can try to explain you my latest behavior that I was shaping with the four seal, one of the young ones. So the idea of the behavior was for the girl, she's called Zola, to spin around her axis on all her four flippers. So how do you start it? First, you have to have a method for her to focus on you. So first thing that I did was making sure that she would look at me while I was standing there. She already knew the behavior called targeting, and she targeted to my fist. So I had like three or four options in my mind, and two of them I wrote down. One of the options was that I will use my hand like a target for her to follow to do the round movement. So this was the first idea. The second idea was that I would have to move with her around at first because she might not get the clue that she would have to follow my hand. So this was like the first thing that I wanted to do. So this was two scenarios. And then I split it up into those chunks, which first one was targeting my hand, making sure that she understand that. Then I started like a little movements from right to left. So making sure that she will follow me only with her head at the beginning. Then I will try to move my hand so far that she would have to move with a flipper. This was like a next step, one way or another. So her neck was not long enough for her to follow my hand. So she would have to move with a flipper. And then every next step was going a little bit farther around her silkor. So this was for the first scenario. And for the second scenario, it was generally the same, but with me moving with her. So instead of me moving my hand, I would move one step left, then two step left, then three, and then four, and so on and so on. So splitting those into chunks, first three or four chunks were different because it was target, then moving the head, then moving the flipper. But after that was three or four separate chunks, which involved the same movement, but closing the circle. And as it turns out, she was great at targeting my hand. She was great at moving with my hand moving. But when I was trying to close the circle with my hand, move like a quarter of a circle, she would just try to move only her head. So then I switched to the method of going around by adding another step. We managed to do the whole behavior within 2 weeks by learning sessions only once a day. So thanks to splitting it in really small steps, because I planned only doing one step further than before on each session. So actually I had 12 steps in total. And the final step was when I went around a circle and ended up in a place that I started in the beginning. So it was really beneficial because if you tried to make her go around a circle in a one shot, it might work. She might do it by chance, but because I divided it into really small pieces, I think she wouldn't really notice that she was learning something new. And by the time that I was able to walk around her and she was spinning around her axis, it took 12 days. And then when she realized that this is something new, I could go back to only moving my hand and sometimes only initially making the first step and then following my hand. And this took 3 trials. And on the 4th trial with this, she just followed my hand. So the behavior was stopped. Thanks to dividing into really small pieces, the animal actually didn't realize that she was learning, but she was, because we did something that was really not very obvious. But after we finished, something, let's say, clicked in her head and she got that this is the new behavior and she can do it in one big step after she learned it. So for me, it was very fun because when we initiate the learning sessions in our four seals, we usually, all the animals lock inside and we take two of them and there are two trainers, one for an animal, and we call the animal that we want to train with. And when I was training the behavior and I was not calling Zola to come to me, she would come to me either way. So I think she liked it, even though I think she didn't really realize that she was learning something new.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. When you break the behavior up well, the minute changes between step A and step B and step C, your animal might not even necessarily notice much difference.
Yeah, but the time that you go from point A to, for example, to point P, the animal will notice that something is changed, but it didn't realize that it went so fast. Especially very beneficial when you're doing something that animal doesn't like. And if you're doing something that animal doesn't like or doesn't feel comfortable with, and you divide it into really, really small steps, by the time that you do something that previously animal would not let you, and now you're doing it, the animal, let's say, didn't realize that now you can do it, because it took so little steps that each step was almost unnoticeable.
And paired with high amounts of positive reinforcement.
Exactly, yes.
Now, I'm curious, Miko, with this behavior and or with past behaviors, did you write down on paper a formal shaping plan, or did you just have it in your head? Have you done shaping plans in the past? What do you think the benefits are or not of writing this stuff down on paper?
With this behavior, I didn't write it on a paper because for me, it was not very complicated because many steps were actually the same, only adding another physical step for me. But if you have quite complex behavior, then it's only beneficial to write it down on a piece of paper because first, if you have it in your mind, you can skip something even without you noticing. So when you write it down, you can by yourself go through it and let's say check yourself whether this makes sense or not. And if you have it on a paper, you can also ask someone else from your team because they might think about something differently, maybe easier for you or for the animal. And when you have it on a paper, it's easier for them to understand instead of you explaining them. So having it on a paper, like for me, it's really beneficial because you can check it and other people can check it and you can go back to it if you don't remember. This complex behavior might have a lot of those chunks. And it is also beneficial when you talk about it because in your team, you should talk about your behaviors because you are the one that is shaping this behavior, but you have also other team members that probably work with this animal. So you want to explain to them that you are doing this. So maybe while I'm doing those steps, maybe you should not do other behaviors that might go in conflict with this one. So writing it down is really important for many reasons.
Yeah, and I think there's a skill, Mikko, in being able to write this down on a piece of paper, the exact steps you're going to take, and to get all of these steps really clear in your mind before you go into a training session. Because if you don't know what you're going to ask for your animal, how's your animal meant to know? At the same time, we do require flexibility in these shaping plans if we write something down, but our animal offers us something different that we can mentally process as moving in the direction we want it to go. We have to think fast on our feet and potentially offer reinforcement for this alternative pathway, which might still lead us to the final behavior that we want. If I was to write a shaping plan though, one of my goals would be to have someone come along and pick up that piece of paper and be able to follow the exact same steps that I myself was planning to implement without much confusion. If you can clarify that on a piece of paper, I think you're going to be setting yourself up for success when trying to implement this shaping plan. And at the end of the day, you're trying to teach your animal something new. So the more clarity we can have, which is helped by having this process of writing it down on a piece of paper, the more success we're going to have with our training when we go into it.
Yeah, because as you said, you can understand it in your mind. When you write it down, you also process it. And then if someone else will find your notes clear, they can your way of thinking, then you have much more chances that the animal will also catch your idea and will be able to follow it.
And you might be surprised, if you haven't gone through this process, how challenging it can be. For example, we wrote a shaping plan out for station training a pig at a zoo I was at recently. And this shaping plan turned out to be on Microsoft Word at size 12 font, 4 pages long. We additionally did an exercise at this zoo. We had a team of about 6 or 7 staff, and we wanted to write a shaping plan for making a peanut butter sandwich. And we had some bread, and it was in a container with some clip locks, knife, peanut butter. And I put those objects down on the table and said, all right, let's write a shaping plan. And you can imagine all of the small micro behaviors that are involved in doing all of those actions, touching the takeaway container, coordinating the necessary movements of your fingers to not only firmly grip the lock of that container, but to put pressure on it in the right direction to unlock it, push it down twice on either side, then remove the lid. When we got our shaping plans back and we looked over them, all of these tiny splits were missing. Now, I pretended in this situation to play the animal and to come along to these items and follow a shaping plan that had been written. And I obviously had previous knowledge about how to do this behavior, but I tried to place myself in a position where I didn't. And we soon learned the complexity of what in our minds seemed like something simple, but to an animal, to an organism that had never experienced this behavior, this chain of behaviors that was necessary in order to do something as simple as make a peanut butter sandwich, really learned the value of splitting things up. And I think that's one of the huge benefits of being able to write it down. It's really going to challenge you, especially if you're new to shaping behavior. It's going to challenge you to think about all those splits and get them out of your head onto a piece of paper. Then when you're with your animal and potentially you're feeling frustrated because you know what you want from your animal, why doesn't your animal know? Why is your animal not getting this? Then you can come back to the splitting plan and look at, okay, here is the part of the plan I was at. This is the next step. The thing you could do next would be to try to add some splits in between those two steps of the plan. And that's where that splitting rather than lumping comes in. Do you have any thoughts at this stage, Miko? Because what I was going to do next is just explain a really simple way to write one of these plans out on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I can add about the process of learning that I had at my first job. With the splitting and the shaping plan about the peanut butter sandwich that you said, I can add something that I was a part of when I was learning about animal training. It was not a shaping plan as such, but the part of my learning process was a fun game when two or three people were in a room. One of the people were marked as an animal and he or she was to go wait outside, and the rest of people in the room would pick a trainer and will give a trainer a simple behavior to teach the person who is an animal. The behavior may be as simple as go around a room in a circle or something like this. But the rule was that you can communicate with that person only in the ways that you can communicate with your animal. So in our case, the bridge was a whistle. But of course, we didn't give them food as a reinforcement. We have like three steps of reinforcement, which were three different words. The words were good for a small reinforcement, then was very good for more reinforcement, and then excellent meant that you've done the behavior. So I would recommend this game for everyone, but stick to the rules, and then even the simplest exercise that you want the person who is an animal to perform would turn up to be really, really difficult. And then you can try to learn writing shaping plan, for example, for doing a sandwich. And then you will discover how this is helpful, because you have to reinforce very small little steps, because the person you are training has no clue and no other ways of communicating with you. So you have to shape her behavior to what you want to do. This is great exercise for me, because then you understand why those steps are really necessary.
Yeah, it's a great game. And I think a game a lot of us played when we were children with regards to hot and cold. You're getting hot, yeah. You're getting hot, you're getting cold as you had to move towards a specific object. And I think that there are other benefits from playing this game. So I completely agree with you, Miko, that everyone should endeavor to have a turn at playing this with their peers and their teams or their family. And there's two other things I think that you should look out for when playing that game. One is what you can learn about communication from playing it. As you said, follow the rules. The communication of your chosen words, whether it be good, excellent, very good, or your whistle or your clicker, and challenge yourself not to use body language. You'll see the animal person in this game looking for you for other sorts of indication, yeah, that they have or have not got what you're trying to teach them. Then it becomes quite humorous for the other people watching. Laughter starts to erupt, and all of a sudden, there's all of this other information being offered from the environment to our animal, to our person trying to learn a behavior. And we can learn a lot from that with regards, yeah, to what is important, what isn't important. The other thing we can learn from this game, and I encourage you, and I'm sure Miko agrees here, to play this game numerous times and place yourself in both the position of the animal and the position of the trainer and the position of an observer. Common feedback I get when I play this game with other individuals is the frustration that the learner feels in that situation when they can't figure out what it is we are asking them to do. How could that be avoided? My guess would be to split behavior up, to offer more reinforcement for smaller movements towards that end behavior. It's such a great tool as the teacher in that situation as well, to try to communicate to one of their peers, one of their colleagues, without using spoken words. And additionally, I've seen frustration from the teacher as well, thinking, why isn't this person getting it? And to see that frustration, to hear it articulated back to you from the learner, is potentially an insight into how our animals could feel,
yeah,
in
it
our
is.
Training sessions. So let's just briefly touch on how you sitting at home will go about writing your shaping plan. And we can use Miko's seal example from earlier. So what we'll do would be to take that final behavior we want and to write it down on a piece of paper, specifically at the bottom of a blank piece of paper. And we want to be very careful here to only talk about behavior, remove all the labels, remove all our hypothetical constructs, our hypothetical reasoning as to why our animals are doing what they're doing. Just write down what we can see and hear, what we can physically observe that animal doing. And then after we've written down the exact behavior, just one behavior that earns reinforcement, we write any relevant information from the environment, which could be, in Miko's example, the hand moving around the head. Then step two would be to think about what is the closest behavior that your animal already does to that final behavior. So Miko, in your example of the seal, what was the closest behavior it did? Was it come and stand in front of you and look at you?
Yeah, and a little bit of movement of the head from side to side.
Perfect. So we would write that information at the top of our piece of paper. We would have that behavior at the top. Once again, remove all labels and hypothetical reasoning as to why our animals do what they do, just what we can observe. And at the bottom of the blank piece of paper, we would write that final behavior. Now you can do this with any behavior you have with your animals, whether it be at home, in a zoo, in a vet, in a rehab center, as a dog trainer, whatever capacity you work with animals, you can use this method. Think about a behavior you want, write it at the bottom of the blank piece of paper. At the top, write the closest thing your animal already does to that final behavior. And then your job is to go through and write all the tiny little approximations, baby steps, learnable chunks that our animal needs to take to get from point A, closest behavior it already does, to point B, its final behavior. You will potentially get more success the more little learnable chunks that you can write down. Like I said, with the pig stationing example, we managed to fill 4 pages and we could have split it up even more.
As always, you always can split it up more.
Exactly. And as Miko said, if you can do this well, then potentially your animals don't really feel like they're learning anything new because the changes between where they currently were to the next step are nearly indiscernible. People that can do that have amazing success. This is a learnable skill. You potentially look at videos of people doing this on YouTube or Facebook and think, wow, that only happens on YouTube and Facebook. But you sitting at home following that process that I just talked about and Miko has explained with his seal and we've been talking about through this podcast can 100% do it as well. There's a lot more that comes into it with regards to your timing, as we mentioned in the discussion about the shaping game, communication, and setting up the environment. There's a lot more involved in that animal's learning than just shaping behavior. But the ability to develop this skill set, which everyone can do, is highly important. So that's a pretty good wrap up of shaping behavior, I think, Miko. And maybe now it would be really neat to talk about some specific shaping stories that might come to your mind from your experience where this ability to shape behavior has been really beneficial, splitting rather than lumping, using shaping plans, and some important lessons you've learned along the way.
Yeah, sure. So one of the biggest problem I would say all around the world in marine mammals in most facilities are things that ended up in a pool or in an enclosure. So in all of the facilities I worked in, this was a major issue. So in all of them, we decided to teach our animal the behavior of retrieving the thing. So in this kind of thing, you need to split the behavior in really small pieces because this is quite a complicated thing for the animal to find an object. You don't know how it looks like because the animal might never seen it before and convince it to take it and retrieve it to you. So in all those situations, you usually end up with a similar shape plan, which is first of all to teach the animal to touch the object, which would be first few steps or several steps or tens of steps depending on the animal, then to take it either in the mouth or try to move it with the nose, which would be the next set of steps, and then to move it to the water or maybe do it at the beginning in the water. So steps would be first to teach the animal to touch the object, then to take a bite of the object, then to move around with the object, for example, on land, then transfer to water, then try to teach the animal to find the object in very shallow water and then bring it back. And this would be the big steps. For example, in your explanation of the shaping plan, this shaping plan would take many pages. You end up with the final behavior at the bottom of the page. For me, in every facility, this kind of behavior sooner or later would come. This is really important. And it's also very beneficial for the animal because once you teach to retrieve a certain object, then you can try to introduce another object. So you can practically go through the steps once again with a different object. And then you will see that the animal will actually skip steps. steps, because once it's realized that, okay, we are going through the same process but with different object, then the animal might get it with 3 or 4 steps instead of 50 or 60. So,
hey, fantastic. Great story, Mirko. And that was actually our last question. This has been a lot of fun today. And I hope that you out there listening have enjoyed the episode. I know that I really enjoyed making it, as I always do. And it's just been so great getting this opportunity to catch up with you today, Mirko. And I'm really excited, as mentioned, for you moving forward into your new role. Can't wait to do another podcast episode in 6 months or so and hear about what new lessons you have to share with all of us then. So from myself and on behalf of everyone listening, a massive thank you to you, Mirko. It's been absolutely wonderful having you here today.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me. And thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoy your training and writing your shaping plan. And good luck with all of you.
Awesome. Cheers, Mirko. For everyone out there listening, make sure to check out the podcast write-up for this episode. Not only will we have lots of cool pictures of Mirko, but I'll also link to other resources on animaltrainingacademy.com where you can learn more about shaping behaviors and writing shaping plans as well. Also, head over to animaltrainingacademy.com, check out all the other episodes on offer, the free training tidbits online course, the free web classes. And if you really want to take your training to the next level, then go to the website. Once again, that's animaltrainingacademy.com, and hit the VIP mentor program in the main menu there. Then you'll see a blue link where you can book a free 20-minute video call consultation about your individual training projects with me. I love connecting with you guys one-on-one. It is by far my favorite thing to do. So in this call, we can talk about your situation, behavioral challenges you're facing, personal goals moving forward with your training, and basically anything you want, really. But we will aim to make a personalized plan in a 20-minute period where you will have some clear goals to work towards. Once again, if you're interested in that, head over to animaltrainingacademy.com, hit the VIP mentor program button in the main menu, and then you'll see the blue link there, which will take you to a form where you can request that call and that consult. So I can't wait to hear from you guys. For this episode though, we'll leave it there. If you've liked the episode, or if you didn't like the episode, or if you have some cool stories about shaping behaviors, or if you want to wish Mirko good luck on his new adventure, then please leave a comment on the podcast right up on the website, or we're on iTunes as well, so you can find us there. Absolutely love hearing from you guys. Until next time, cheerio.